Now, welcome back. It's time to turn our attention to golf. Well, a little bit earlier, Greg Allen caught up with Graeme McDowell at the JP McManus Pro-Am. He spoke to him about the Saudi Arabian-backed breakaway LIV Golf Series and what being in Adair Manor with JP McManus means to him.
This is a celebration of golf these 2 days. This is a celebration of a family that are obviously extremely special here in Limerick and obviously the island of Ireland. And, you know, as golfers, you know, you just look at the field here and you look at the pros and you look at the amateurs and celebrities that are supporting here. There's no focus on LIV. There's no focus on the negativity that's surrounding the game of golf. JP McManus has brought, you know, 5 tours together and, you know, some of the most important people in golf. Maybe the last time these people are together for a little while. And, you know, let's hope they can all sit down over a pint of Guinness tonight and maybe try and sort stuff out a little bit.
So when you took your spikes on, put them on this morning and walked out, did you expect there to be an atmosphere that might have been less welcoming?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. You know, I'm here maybe not feeling as celebratory and welcome as I was maybe 12 years ago. Last time I was here, I just won the US Open and, you know, it was a real celebration for me. But this time, I'm obviously here under slightly more negative connotations and I'm disappointed that that's kind of where we are in the world of golf. But, you know, again, there's a, you know, obviously the consequences surrounding LIV and kind of all the negativity that's been spun. And, you know, listen, the people were great to me this morning. I mean, I think 2 people maybe even mentioned it, and mostly they were just saying, I think you're making the right decision, you know. So Irish golf fans they're golf fans, you know. They love golf, and they're proud of their players, and I felt like they were still proud of me out there this morning.
So you've signed on the dotted line of LIV, and that's the decision is made. I know it was a tough decision for you. Did you expect there to be such blowback? And there's been considerable blowback, and you suffered it particularly at a press conference in the Centurion just over a week ago.
Yeah, I expected negativity, I expected consequences, but, you know, the sort of level of the, you know, how vitriolic the attacks have been, you know, pretty scary, really. You know, like I say, I can't jump on my social media without someone telling me to go die every day, you know, which is... it's pretty interesting, you know. At the end of the day, I'm just a pro golfer who's made a business decision that's based on money. I've never thought about where money comes from in 20 years out here, you know. And I mean, I've played in all parts of the world, you know, from China to the Middle East to all over Asia to South Africa to, you know, listen, I've never hyper-analyzed the morals and the ethics behind those dollar bills that I've made all, you know, my career. And, you know, this opportunity obviously has came with a huge negative spotlight over the Saudi regime. I mean, does that mean every person in Saudi Arabia is a bad person? The people running LIV Golf are bad people? No, they're not bad people. They're just trying to run a golf tour, and it's a very good one, and it's attracting some of the best players in the world.
So when you did sign on the dotted line for LIV, did you weigh up the human rights record in Saudi Arabia versus what you were taking, which was a business decision?
I acknowledged the things that have happened in Saudi Arabia. I've acknowledged their history and what the regime are responsible for. You know, and you have to put that to one side and realize that that's over there. This is professional golf over here. And we're not the only sport making money playing their sport in Saudi Arabia. Middle East, you know, we've spent lots and lots of time out there as part of the European Tour. They've been in the golf ecosystems 2019. The European Tour brought these guys to the table. I won their tournament in 2020. You know, when that $1 million landed in my bank account, no one told me in my Twitter account that week to go die, you know. So, you know, this is such a competitive threat. The narrative has been built around the fact that these guys should not be in golf. They should not be in sport, sports washing, all of the above, you know what I'm saying? And I get it. I get people's opinions. I get where they're coming from. But I think it's unfair that sits on my shoulders. It's unfair that it sits on any of the golfers' shoulders because, you know, we're just professional athletes that have made a living around the world for many, many years. And we certainly don't claim to try and solve any situations in any country at any point, you know, when we're out there playing.
So the accusation of sport washing, that you're contributing to it, and yet Saudi money has been in horse racing for more than 40 years. It's been in all facets of international trade. This country does 800 million euro worth of trade with Saudi Arabia. So you just regard this as being business, like that's business. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I mean, there's some of the biggest countries in the world, from FedEx to MasterCard, you know, to just some massive companies that are doing business in Saudi Arabia, you know, Rolex and Apple. And, like, you know, this has been an unbelievable media negativity campaign that's been put together to try and make this look like the worst decision a golfer can make. And I'm not sure why we have been targeted over the last few months the way we've been targeted, because, like you say, of all the corporate, you know, industries around the world that do business in Saudi Arabia, to all the sports that have been involved in Saudi Arabia for so many years, why are we the ones carrying this burden and carrying this kind of this accusation that, you know, we should not be involved with these people? You know, I just, you know, it's been horrendous, it's been horrible, and I just, you know, can't wait for the day where we can start talking about something else, you know, but that day's not going to come for a little while. And you know, in the meantime, can't believe I'm even still talking about it here right now. You know, I should really learn from my mistakes and just say nothing, get on with it, you know, because that seems to be the only answer right now, is just to say no comment and hope for the best.
Yeah, but that's not you. You've always been forthcoming. Is there anything perhaps in that regard you have misjudged in the last while, or do you feel that that is part of what the whole bigger decision was like before you signed on the dotted line and you were ready to take these difficult questions?
Well, I mean, you know, you train and you get ready for the difficult questions, but in hindsight there is no answer to them. You know, I think that's probably my biggest regret, is trying to answer some hard questions in a logical manner when every word I say just gets absolutely torn apart, you know. So it's probably my only regret. Like I say, I knew the consequences, I knew kind of what to expect from a PGA Tour fallout, from a DP World fallout. I knew what was going to happen. I made my peace with that. The Ryder Cup stuff, disappointing, but I got to make my peace with it and see what happens. You know, when it comes to the media side of the stuff, I mean, I just had no idea that it was going to be quite this gruesome. And like I said, probably should just try and say less.
Probably it would be better if everybody in your position just said, it's for the money, it's not for growing the game, it's not for expanding the game. Is that kind of something that maybe everybody should actually just speak their mind?
For sure. I mean, you know, it's not in LIV Golf's interest for us to sit there and just say it's about the money. No one has denied that this is not a business decision. It is about the money, of course. But then we start talking about what LIV is and what they're trying to achieve. They're trying to take golf to markets around the world that haven't seen golf. They're trying to create a new product which is going to bring younger fans to the game. Like, that's all truth. But you can't say it because you just get ripped, because it's not about that. These guys said they're trying to grow the game.
You have a wife, you have a family at home in Northern Ireland. Is everybody, like, in your greater circle dealing with this? Because it has been a difficult time.
You know, listen, when I'm plastered on the front page of the Belfast Telegraph, do you think that makes my family happy? Because some guy from Amnesty International, I didn't respond to his comments. I mean, how am I supposed to respond to Amnesty International? Of course, like, that's not who I... Like, I'm not some peace ambassador, you know what I mean? I'm just a pro golfer who, you know, tries his best to do his job. Like, it's been a very difficult time. You know, it's probably me that kind of takes shit more personally than I should. My wife's been strong through it. You know, my folks, thankfully, have been in Florida, so they haven't really seen too much of the Irish press. It's hard, you know, it's been very difficult. And like I say, hopefully it will pass soon and we can just continue to get on with what we're doing. There is room in the game for this product. Just got to work out kind of how it fits in with the PGA Tour and the DP World, probably specifically with them being the two biggest tours. We'll see. You know, obviously, Jay Monahan believes that there is no room, that it doesn't work. So, you know, and there's no coexisting going on. And what are the strategic alliance and Keith Pelley and the European Tour? They're going to have to try and agree with that as well. That's another one. So we'll see. Eventually, will we all just try and get on with our jobs and let guys have the ability to play wherever they want? Don't see that happening in my golfing lifetime, but that's the ultimate dream, the ultimate vision, where guys can be independent contractors and choose their own schedules.
So that was Graham McDowell there speaking to Greg Allen a little bit earlier on. He was down at the JP McManus Pro-Am in Adair Manor. Gary Murphy joins me now on the line to look back over the weekend of golf and also to discuss GMAC's interview there. Gary, what were your thoughts on the points that he was making there about LIV and his association with it?
I think he's right in a lot of what he says. You know, there's professional sports people aren't going to fix political situations or what governments do or don't do. And I think, you know, governments and companies around the world do business every day, including our own, with the Saudis. So to say that, you know, this tour is, it's the guy's fault and all that sort of stuff, I think, you know, has been a little bit harsh on the players. I know Graham came out kind of firing because the first interview he did, he was sat beside Dustin Johnson. It was obviously going to offer up, you know, very little, and Graham kind of felt incumbent to carry the can, and he was just trying to be too clever, because unfortunately everything he said was going to be wrong anyway, and he just got a little kind of befuddled with the whole thing. But you can just hear in his tone there, you know, how unprepared they all were for, you know, being kicked around like the political football. You know, we have a similar thing on this island with Rory. You know, at times he's a political football, and guys aren't used to that because they're used to telling the truth, and unfortunately politicians are not that good at that. So I think it's probably taken a lot more out of him than he thought. But what he did say is that, you know, you got to move on. You know, there is a place for this tour, whether people like it or not. But the other side of that is, if guys do choose to play on this tour, they can't play on the other tours, and that's fair enough. You know, this letter that's gone into the DP World Tour about guys not being able to play in the Scottish Open, they shouldn't be allowed to play in the Scottish Open. So, you know, I think Porrick said it beautifully at the weekend as well. You know, you make your bed, you lie in it. So if you want to take the cash and go off and get on this tour, that's great and good luck to you. And I hope, you know, they do well, because I'm a big fan of Graham McDowell's golf game. But you can't come back and play DP World Tour, PGA Tour. Just, you know, you can't play for Liverpool one weekend and Arsenal the following weekend. It just doesn't work like that.
I just found it very strange that he seems to be so hurt by it all, just given the views on Saudi Arabia and the information that we have, how he would be naive to think that there wasn't going to be a massive backlash and that his reputation wouldn't be tarnished by it, because he's put himself front and centre. And it almost sounded like there, when he was talking to Greg, that he felt like he was a victim. And when you think of the country that he's now associated with through Liv and the victims that are over there, it just seems that he just doesn't seem to get the tone right.
Yeah, but they're coming on, they're drumming up this is against Saudi Arabia. It's not against Saudi Arabia, it's against the threats of the PGA Tour. That's why the backlash from the commentary in the States is, it's all anti-the Saudis. It's not about the golf, it's about Saudi Arabia, you know, on 9/11. Why did they invade Iraq if it was Saudi Arabia that did it? You know, so they're spinning this thing as it's a political, to twist the politics.
I'm just surprised, Gary, that he seems so hurt and surprised by the backlash.
Yeah, but no one's, you know, social media is, you know, and Twitter have their spaces, but it doesn't matter who you are or what you are, if someone's saying they want to kill you because you're joining this league, like, that's not easy to take. Like, at the end of the day, it's a ball and grass. He's out playing golf. You know, he's a professional sports person. You know, who's our most famous footballer? If he goes playing football for Newcastle next year, he's not going to get any grief. Yet these guys, because they've gone on this tour, and the tour is a major threat to the PGA Tour and to the DP World Tour. But it's not a threat to society, I don't think. And it's been spun like it has. And, you know, there's a lot of vitriol out there about it. I'm not saying that I agree or disagree with the Saudi League. I think it was managed really badly by the people running the Live Tour, you know, to throw those guys to the wolves, essentially, because it was a no-win situation for them. Of course, there's the business decision, and they're there for the money. Mm-hmm. You know, and good luck to them. They're professional sports people. If they're in a situation, you know, because a lot of them are coming to the tail ends of their career. And the morale, I've played golf in South Africa. They've had, you know, horrendous things in the past. To play golf in Russia, to play golf in China, I never once got any trouble for that. You know, I commentated it in Saudi before this whole thing took off. The European Tour brought the Saudis into the equation, so there was never an issue then. And now, because it upset the apple cart massively, they've turned it political. And the guys, to be fair to them, haven't been able to handle it, nor should they, because they're not politicians, they're professional sports people. And it will die down. And this tour, I don't know, will it take off? I watched a bit of the first one of Centurion. I tried to watch a bit of it last week, but obviously, you know, you look at that kind of tournament, they're trying to jazz it up, and then you look at the history and tradition of another brilliant Horizon Irish Open in Mount Juliet, and, you know, I think we're probably better off talking about that, really, than, you know, the Live Tour, to be honest. There's been enough. You know, yeah. it's political football at the moment. I mean, if sports people commentating on politics, it's never going to work, really.
Yeah, Yeah, I just, it's hard to have sympathy for somebody who says in the middle of an interview, you know, when £1 million went into my bank balance, nobody raised an eyebrow about that, but now it's such a big deal. So let's move.
But they didn't.
I know they didn't. But that's why I'm just saying that it's, you know, we know it's about the money, and if that was put across in a more clear way, that it wouldn't draw so much.
Yeah, but then if they all said that, that they all given them grief for saying that. So,
well, he said that in the interview, and he said he can't say that because the Live Tour organisers don't want him to say that either, too. So,
but we're in a world of where everyone's offended about the tiniest thing, and if you say the right thing, it's the wrong thing, and if you say the wrong thing, it's the wrong thing. So just be like Dustin Johnson, a DJ,
and say absolutely nothing.
Maybe so.
Yeah, maybe. That's.
You know, and then the other side of it is you've got all the journalists covering it. If they're that offended by the whole thing, why bother even cover the term at all? Just shut them out. Don't be at the event. Don't cover it. But, you know, they're there doing their job. They're getting paid to be there. There's no one giving the journalists any grief for it. So it's, you know, it's just so easy to be offended nowadays. And had they all sat there in Centurion and gone, well, this is the deal. I'm getting £40 million to be here. You know, who's going to turn that down? But you can't even say that anymore. So it was an impossible situation. But it is, from a golfing point of view, it has moved the landscape with the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. It will make both those tours better in the long run. Guys will go, you know, the Ryder Cup is the Ryder Cup. It's a fantastic tournament, you know, but it's one tournament every 2 years. Can you, at the tail end of your career, you know, hang out for that? Or can you become a captain and dine out on that? Probably not as well as you could if you went on another tour, because that's what it is. And I said it from the very start, the smartest thing they've done is tie in with the Asian Tour. And I think this Live Tour will go to 72 hole events next year, and they probably will get world ranking points. And then, you know, that will make the alliance between the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour a stronger alliance. You know, we've got guys going over to play in the PGA Tour this week, opposite the Scottish Open. Obviously, it's unfortunate they're not all getting in there. But there's a massive change coming in golf. And I think the happening of this tour might actually make the other tours even stronger.
Okay, well, no doubt we'll be talking about that a lot over the next while. Gary, let's talk about you, though, because you did predict the winner of the Irish Open.
Yeah, I got lucky on the guessing, Marie.
You say that every week. You're actually just really good at looking at form. Like, just be honest.
I think he's and that's a story in itself. You know, we're talking about who's not going to be on the Ryder Cup team next year. Maybe this guy's going to be on it. And maybe we've got someone from Poland going to be your first ever Ryder Cup player. And that's, you know, this caption of growing the game. You know, there was a fantastic photo online last night, all the stats guys on the European Tour, they're all Polish. There's about 40 of them at the back of the green with Maronk last night. You know, and that's just brilliant for the sport.
Yep.
Excuse me.
And another prediction from you as well, Gary, which is impressive, but tell us a little bit about Maronk, though, because he's not someone I was too familiar with before this began.
Well, he's a little bit of an Irish connection in the sense that Dermot Byrne, who's, you know, a renowned caddy on the European Tour for many, many years and did an amazing job with Leona Maguire. Dermot, when Maronk first came out on tour, Dermot had his bag. So I'm sure Dermot's experience is somewhere in the mix. Obviously, he's not with him now, and that happens with professional golf with changes. But we're dying to get some sort of an Irish connection to someone, but Dermot did help him out at the start of his career. He got through the Challenge Tour in 2019 to get his status in 2020, and then obviously with COVID and whatnot, it was a difficult time for him, but he kept his status. He almost won in Dubai this year. He was with Rory in the final group, and he's just building and improving the whole time. He had 6 top 10s the season prior to winning the Horizon Irish Open yesterday. So it's a big, powerful guy. He's 6'5", hits it miles. And as we saw as he was coming in, he's got nerve to hold putts under pressure, which is a great attribute to have for any professional golfer. So it's really exciting talent coming through. There's been a lot of hype around the Danish twins, the Hogarth. So this is a new name and someone who I think will be around for a long time.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to following him as well. Gary, I'm going to leave you with a few text messages in. So it's a bit of a mix. What a terrible load of horse manure out of G-Mac's mouth. The money is what it's all about. He should just say that and nothing else. Kieran Trippier is still in the England squad, having signed for Newcastle, but no questions asked. And one texter wants to know if the lady presenter, which I presume is me, Gary, another station came in and offered me €1 million to stay. Would I go or would I stay? What do you reckon, Gary?
I'd say get a postcard.
Gary, thanks a million, and I will talk to you again soon, no doubt.
Thanks, Marie. Cheers.